Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I'm your host, Will Gray. Pleased to be joined today by Bryson DeChambeau, a three-time winner this year on the PGA Tour. Sorry, season. We can't talk in years here. We talk in seasons. One is behind us. One is about to get started for you here in Las Vegas in a few days. But having had a chance to look back on this past season, two wins in the playoffs, a win at Memorial in the playoff, what's your biggest takeaway from 2018 for you?
I think my ability to have resilience and resolve. You know, there's been a lot of times where I've had some difficult moments, and I think people saw a lot of that, and that's a good thing. People realize that I'm human, that I do make mistakes and do suck every once in a while. But at least from those moments, I was able to learn from them in a positive way and go out and show them what I can do and who I really am. And I think that's the cool, that's the cool aspect about golf, is that the ones that can get into the top 10 in the world are usually the ones that have an incredible amount of resolve and resilience. And so when I'm not playing my best, I know how to get it in. I know how to even win every once in a while. And those are the biggest aspects of the year. Me knowing that I could not have my best and still win.
Did you win without your best last year?
Oh, yeah. I won two of them without my best. And then TPC Boston, I was playing really, really well.
It's got to be nice, right, to still walk away with the trophy feeling like you have a few things to work on the range. I mean, I know I
was
there at Memorial. You're closing down the range every night.
Trying to figure it out. Trying to go, what is going to make me a little more consistent? And that's always what it's about. I don't give up. That's something that my dad never taught me. Even when I got mad and frustrated on the range and on the golf course, he would never pull me off for my attitude, because he said, that's what's going to make you great. You got to learn to control a little bit better, but that's what's going to make you great.
Well, you mentioned controlling the attitude. I know that you got a few questions about, you know, your range session at the Open, and the cameras caught you kind of, you know, having a rough moment. And then you look at that leads to two playoff wins a couple weeks later. I know we've talked to Jon Rahm, and he makes it seem like a Coke bottle, where he says, if I try and bottle up my energy and try and bottle up my emotions, eventually it's going to explode.
I'm the same way, but in a bit of a different way. I get more frustrated about the things that I can't control at the moment.
Okay.
More or less, like, if I hit a bad shot, I hit a bad shot. I'm not going to get mad over that. Yeah. That's my fault. Things I can't control, I get mad over. It's really weird.
Good luck with that. That's going to keep you up at night. Right?
Exactly. But that's why I strive so hard to figure these things out. That's why I go to do tests and go to research facilities to try and understand the certain dynamics that have not been understood yet.
You started the year ranked 99th in the world as we sit here now.
That's crazy.
Good news. We start with the bad news.
Yeah.
Then we go. Now you're sitting here number seven.
Yeah.
What was the biggest growth area for you that allowed you to make that transition?
I would say the resolve that I have and my ability to resolve issues with my golf swing. You know.
So is it more mental than physical?
It was physical. The physical is what related back to the mental. People got to realize that it's never mental, first off.
Okay.
It's always a response from the physical side that allows you to get frustrated, depressed, sad, whatever it is. Okay? And so for me and for everybody else, you never get mad before you hit a tee shot. Think about it. It's always the result.
Sometimes we get scared.
Scared, absolutely. Yeah. But that scared is from previous attempts of not executing good shots, right? So you can make that argument, but I can always go one back behind you.
Yep.
Because it's always something that's physical and something that you've seen, heard, or whatever. An external stimuli that makes you unconfident, not confident. And so for me, going back to my issues and stuff, my resolve is really what has been the big difference for me this year. And the ability to take a situation and go, man, that's not good. How do I fix it? How do I learn from it and become better?
How would you describe your week in Paris? What was your Ryder Cup experience like? I mean, you look on paper, if I would have told you at the beginning of the year, you're going to go, you're going to make the team, you're going to play with Phil, you're going to play with Tiger, you would have, you know, I could have pushed you over with a feather.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
it would have been easy to,
from a team perspective, you know, it certainly didn't go your way. So is it bittersweet? How do you look back on that week?
Obviously a bit bittersweet. I would say for the most part it was an enjoyable week and had a great time with, you know, getting actually to know the guys. I'm somebody that I'm kind of like a lone wolf out on tour. I do my own thing, really don't play much golf with too many people. You know, if I get the chance to play with Tiger, I'll play with him. But I'm really kind of a lone wolf, and it was great to get to understand and know people's backgrounds a little bit better and see where they're coming from. It makes it more personable and more relatable out here, to where we're all struggling for the same thing. And it makes it worthwhile I would say, to have these relationships now, because I know that they're going through the same stuff I'm going through.
A lot of fans and media, like, you know, the phrase comes up, team room. It's like this mythical object when it comes to the Ryder Cup and these team events, because it's an individual sport. The show rarely goes to the team environment. What was the biggest takeaway from you in terms of what went on in that team room that maybe you didn't expect or didn't anticipate going in that week?
There was a lot more bonding than I expected. I mean, I knew there was going to be some bonding, but it was really cool to get to dive into people, you know, and that's something that's really personal. I would say that shouldn't ever leave that room, because it's special and unique to us. That's what makes the Ryder Cup so great, is that we have those moments. We have those memories for life. And anybody that wants to try and make the team, that's the reason you're doing it. You know, it's really to have an amazing time representing your country and getting to know the others in a lot better way.
You mentioned playing with Tiger, and that was a frequent occurrence for you in 2018. I remember, you know, one of the biggest smiles I've seen on your face is just walking at TPC Sawgrass playing with him at HV3, and you guys were having a great time on those
awesome
early week rounds. How instrumental was Tiger's friendship and his mentorship been to the success that you've had this year?
Yeah, I think he's given me a lot of confidence, knowing that he is who he is and how much he's won and how much he's done for the sport, to be able to see how he plays the game of golf and what he does. It honestly gave me confidence in what I was doing, because it's like, you know, he's just getting the ball in the hole too. I do it a little differently, but if he gets in the hole more than I do, then he's going to beat me. And it's just it got back down to, it's just a game. And that was really cool for me to be able to experience that and, you know, see a little bit from his side of how he plays the game and how I play the game and how we do it. Two different ways, but ways that still get the job done. And that's the cool part about it. He's like, yeah, dude, I love what you're doing. I think it's really interesting, and it's different, but hey, you get the ball in the hole just like I do.
Well, you were out there at Torrey Pines when he made his comeback, and you saw him firsthand, certainly at the Tour Championship, when it felt like half of Metro Atlanta was following him down the 18th hole at Eastlake. What stuck out to you from, obviously, a unique perspective of being a practice round player, being a competitor Thursday through Sunday, in terms of watching the evolution of Tiger in 2018?
It's really how much he truly means to the game of golf. We are all here because of him. I am here because of him. I'd say every single young golfer out here is here because of him.
Yeah.
And that's something that nobody can take away from him, because he is what made this all happen.
That's fair enough. What's the biggest misconception about you?
About me? How human I am?
How so?
Well, I mean, people ever think I'm this crazy scientific guy, and I'll go sit on the couch for hours on end, just like anybody else, and watch TV, you know. Then there are times where I'm just a little obsessive about trying to understand the game of golf. You know, I've got that knack for wanting to understand things that haven't been figured out yet. And I think that's what people need to understand. I've got two sides of me where I can just clear my brain and just sit and watch TV for hours on end. And then I can think of something or watch something on TV and get inspiration from it and go, oh, that makes sense. And then it starts going from there, and then I become a little obsessive about it for a while, and then I go the other way. It's just a ebb and flow of what I do in life, and I think that's the biggest misconception, is I'm human, but I'm just a little obsessive as well.
I was going to say, the obsessive, probably not just golf-related. I would think that it would
end up. Every once in a while, what's funny is my room is a mess. Okay. But when you get me around sports or golf or, you know, a competition or something competitive, I become obsessive about it.
What's your Netflix queue look like?
I don't have Netflix, but I'll watch like The Walking Dead, or even I'll play games like Fortnite and have fun with that and play with my friends online, and it's fun.
Anything else besides Walking Dead that has your interest on TV set right now?
Not right now. No, not right now. And even at that, I'm just watching some movies, some new movies that come out. I like the new movies that come out.
I remember I was here last year talking to you, and you mentioned spearfishing.
I love it.
How'd you get into it, and how did... have you been spearfishing?
Yeah, when I went down to Albany, I actually had the opportunity to meet the head pro. I actually had the opportunity to meet the head pro, and he allowed me to go spearfishing. And so went out for the first time, really scared jumping in the water, and I got in there, and started swimming around with some sharks, and that was not easy, but but then I essentially got to the bottom floor and we were able to catch some stuff, my first catch was a lionfish. Those things are deadly and poisonous.
Yes.
And so ever since I caught that thing, it's just been a thrill ride ever since, and so I love going
tough
there.
Tough to beat the adrenaline of taking down a fish that can take you, right?
Absolutely. That's something that's unique to its own. It's a lot of fun.
So as we said, you're going to make your season debut at Vegas, but looking forward to 2019, the pieces are in a lot different position on the schedule. How big of a challenge is it for you trying to map out everything, make sure you're at the big events, but also make sure you still have a little bit of gas left in the tank when it comes to August now instead of September?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is going to be that I'm not going to be playing in some events that I love to play in.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to have to take some out, unfortunately. Look at the tournaments that I played really well in last year and say, all right, let's play in those and then try and play in the majors. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the majors. What's the key for you to moving from winning events to contending in majors?
I think having my game. I didn't have my game just for whatever reason. The timing was off.
Yeah.
And so making sure that I have my game going into the majors is going to be a key thing. If I can do that, I will compete. There's no doubt.
A lot was made of Compass Gate 2018.
That's freaking hilarious.
At Travelers, I know when I was up there, and we talked to you on Sunday, and it seemed like you didn't think that was going to be that big of a deal.
No,
it turned into a bit of a bigger deal. I guess just big picture, how would you describe your relationship with the USGA? Because you've had Compass, you've had side saddle putting.
I've struggled with them, obviously, and through all the struggles, I think that I've tried to have them maybe understand a little bit of, from a player's perspective, a decent player's perspective of, you know, that I'm trying, this is a job, and we're trying to do our absolute best of the job. And so I really don't appreciate it when, you know, you hinder my ability to do my job at the best of my ability, you know, and I think that it's okay. I understand it, and I appreciate their governance and respect their governance. But at the same point in time, I'm ever working with them, always working with them now to have them understand my side. And it was just like the contour maps this year. Mm-hmm. You know, that was reined back because a lot of players were like, you're not going to be able to regulate this. There's no way you can regulate it. And it's affecting too many people's lives. You know, they got to think about that. I personally think that they should be doing whatever is necessary to speed the game up, make it fun, more fun to play, and more enjoyable to play. And, you know, I also understand the heritage of the game, but there's got to be a balance there, you know. And the more that there can be a balance, I think the better off the game of golf will be. But I appreciate everything that they've done, their input, their response to me on every subject matter is been clear so far.
What's your take on the rule changes that are going to propose?
I'm gonna leave the flag stick in.
There you go. It'll be you get a drop from a couple inches off the ground. Just putt every 5-footer. Leave the stick in.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see how that goes at Augusta, right?
Yep. I guess so.
I mean, the green reading books you mentioned, are those? It seemed like they were going to eliminate them, and now they're like half eliminating them. Are you?
Yeah, they aren't eliminating them at all. They're making it actually easier for me to have a distinct advantage because I got better eyes.
All right, there you go, calling your shot. Is it a challenge for you? Do you feel like you're in an adversarial position sometimes?
What do you mean?
In terms of being a player who has come up on multiple occasions on things of I don't know if it's necessarily pushing the envelope, but you've had things that you're doing that no one else is doing, and the USGA has come out and said you can't do it.
Well, I've never really been incredibly talented as a kid growing up. I had some talent, and I worked my butt off to get really, really good, and I tried to find every little edge I could growing up. And just like I helped develop the one-length irons, you know, I'm always trying to develop other ways to make the game easier and more fun and enjoyable for people to play.
Was there ever a moment of doubt when you were coming out? Because it's not been exactly a fluid trajectory from you as a pro. Was there a moment where you kind of questioned the approach, the one-length approach, the unique?
Not the one-length approach. That's been solidified since I won my first few events when I developed the set. I knew it was going to be ever-changing and getting better consistently. And shoot, even when I was a professional, I tested the variable lengths, and I'm like, it's just not better. It's not as good as the one lengths.
But in terms of...
It still worked, though.
Right. But, I mean, it was a rough start out of the gates for you. You know, you missed...
Well, that was more of me learning how to swing the golf club a little bit better.
Okay. All right. What's the key to coping with pressure? In terms of on some of these stages that you find
coping
yourself
with
on
pressure,
now,
having a better neurological response mechanism.
See, I knew I was going to get there. We were going to get there eventually. We're going to go down the Bryson rabbit hole.
Some poop now. So it's literally about having a better neurological response mechanism. The more I can hit five shots and then go exactly in the same box and land in the same box, the better I'm going to be. If I hit this, if I have the same feeling and it goes into out of a different box, I didn't have a good response mechanism.
But has that approach changed for you in terms of you've gotten yourself into positions, being number one in the FedEx Cup, making the Ryder Cup, situational pressures that you hadn't felt prior to this year?
Yeah, those pressures have definitely affected me a little bit, but at the same point in time, it always goes back to can I control the neurological process in my body?
What's your top goal for 2019?
Top goal? I'd say to compete in every major. Compete.
Compete. What do you define as competing?
You know what I define as competing.
I think Jordan says I need to teeing off Sunday with a chance. Do you feel that that's competing?
You know what competition means. I'm not going to say it.
All right.
Y'all know what competing means to me.
Okay.
So being there.
What's one bucket list destination you have not been to?
Bucket list destination, probably Antarctica.
It's going to be a long trip. You can rack up some frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it'd be fun to be on the close to the South Pole. It's just interesting. I think it's just...
I want to
play golf on every continent. That'd be really cool. Okay.
Take your spearfish with
equipment exactly.
with you.
Exactly.
This has been the Golf Channel Podcast presented by Top Golf. Remember, log on to golfchannel.com/podcast. Subscribe, Art19, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, search Golf Channel as a keyword and you will find us. Bryson DeChambeau, thank you very much for joining us on this Golf Channel podcast.
Thanks.
All the best of luck in 2019.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.